He says, I have all and abound. I am full. I mean, I think, he had said in Rome, he hadn't said in Romans 14, it says, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's more than things, And so he could say, I'm full because, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's his fellowship with God and, and even the communion with other saints, even though they're way out there and he's in prison, yet there's that communion. He said in one place, and I can't remember where it is, where he says, all those who are in Asia has forsaken me, And so here's Paul here all alone, and yet he can say, I have all and abound. I am full. I hope I can say that. I really do. If I'm ever to the point where he is, I hope I can still say, I have all and abound and I'm full. It's just an amazing statement to me as I think of the situation Paul's in.
Yes. We're looking at the last chapter of Philippians. We started with verse 18.
He mentioned this though in chapter 2. Let me find it. Well, the last verse it says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And a lot of times we think of laying down a life as sort of maybe because of persecution or something, but this was not persecution. This was he was doing this to bring this gift, and yes, it was from an assembly, but he was treating it, and it says for the work of Christ, he was treating it as if it was from the Lord himself. And it does remind me of 1 John chapter 3, where verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then verse 16, hereby proceed we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, again, that's not persecution. That's in service, isn't it? And that's what Epaphroditus had done. And
Yes. Well, Epaphroditus was certainly a sample of what was happening at Philippi. I go back to that verse that tells us that you had me on your heart. He says, Willis says it could read, I have you on my heart. And it's a beautiful setting, as we've been saying, that Philippi had really a love for Paul, and they seemed to be having that same love for each other. And as we mentioned, there was a little ripple with the two sisters, but Paul was trying to deal with that so it didn't grow, and I think they would have accepted that from him. But oh, quite a statement. I have all. Tells me Paul was relying on the Lord for providing for his needs, and he was taking things from the Lord. Being in prison, he took it from the Lord. And when we have difficulties in life, it's far, far more desirable to just take it as from the Lord and see what the Lord is going to do with it. And so I think that's what we have with Paul. The Lord is going to provide. I have all things and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And I do enjoy reading what he considered that gift to be, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. What an encouragement for those at Philippi. You think of the incense that was burnt in the temple and tabernacle. You think of the burnt offering, and he says, this is an odor of a sweet smell. It's something that God, no doubt, had real pleasure in, and so did Paul, that there were those. My impression is that those at Philippi didn't have much to spare, and they would share that in such a way. And Paul was saying, this is a wonderful thing, that it's a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God.
Remember when I was a kid, I talked to a different family, a family that had just come back from a Bible conference somewhere. I'm not sure where, but they told me that there were several people there with disabilities. There's a blind man, there's a deaf lady, and different things. Well, they talked to each of them, and they asked each one about their disabilities and if they had their preference. What kind of disability would they prefer? And each one of them chose the disability that they had. The blind man said that he would sooner be blind, and the deaf person re remarked that she was content being deaf. It would just seem like with this verse here, I have all things in abound. There he is in prison, but he's accepting it from the Lord, and all of a sudden, then he can be content, even though he's in prison. And we would look and say, well, there's things you don't have, but he's like, I have all that I need.
Just interesting that what you read there, the sweet smell, the sacrifice. I mean, when you read some of those other passages of the sacrifices, the reason why the father is so pleased is because it reminds him of his son. And so that the sacrifice of a life, I mean, I think it was 2 days ago I was reading in Luke 12 about, on a daily basis, your life is supposed to be a sacrifice. You take up your cross daily. And the second when you don't start thinking that way, you know what happens. You get selfish. Look, I should say I get selfish.
We are.
And but that's these guys. In a practical way, sometimes it's, oh, okay, yeah, well, I spend a lot of time in prayer. Well, how about now, you're going to be really short and you give it away anyways. I mean, and it seems like that's what these people were up against. How about the widow, right?
Yeah.
That gave everything she had. How could she do that? And I know for me, I know the way my mind thinks. I'd have been looking at the Pharisees and going, it doesn't look like they're in need to me. I think I'm just going to keep it. I mean, I'm serious. That's the way
Sure.
my mind would be thinking, but she knew, okay, I'm giving this to the Lord. Even if they misuse it, that's on them. But anyways, the whole idea of a sacrifice and a life of sacrifice that was like Christ. I mean, he didn't have a hardly a time to himself. The only time he could have a time to himself was when everybody else was sleeping and he spent the night in prayer. So it was quite a sacrifice on these people's part, and the Lord recognized it, which is kind of cool.
And just before that, when he says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account, The writer of the Hebrews says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister." There will be, it is well pleasing to God, and it will abound to their account. Sacrificial giving. When give when it makes no sense to give. Because it's to the Lord. How could it not make sense? I mean, you're giving it to the Lord, but in our way of thinking, it's like, give when it makes no sense to give, and you don't. And that's, again, I thought of the same thing. The widow's mite, she gave everything that she had. And she's written down in Holy Writ.
Yes.
It might not have her name. It didn't have they didn't have the boy with the five loaves and two fish didn't have his name, but he's written down in Holy Scripture. And it makes us think. When you think you don't, what can I do?
Yeah.
Even the littlest, that your faith even be the size of a mustard seed, get it. So,
I was thinking of
again,
the. Go ahead, Daniel.
I just think in both of those cases, and the widow had two mites. She could have given one, and kept one. But and the boy had five loaves and two fishes. He could have divided them out. But in both cases, they gave the whole thing. And the Lord took it as it, just the. He's not going to forget that sacrifice.
I was thinking of this next verse as well. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That came from a person that knows what it means. He didn't have anything. He relied on the Lord and he provided the needs all along the way. When someone that has a lot of money says that, it makes you wonder, do they understand what it means? But Paul knew, and it was real to him. And he was telling those at Philippi, it can be real to you too. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And how rich is that? There's no end to that. Our father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Well, even that's a drop in a bucket, so to speak, what the Lord has available to at his disposal. He had to send Peter to catch a fish, find a coin in the mouth, but he knew it was there. And it wasn't more than what was needed, it was just what was needed. And the Lord provides what's needed when it's needed. So my God shall supply all your need according to his glory, riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
The health and wealth and prosperity preachers, you really misuse this verse, but the thing is, it's he shall supply all your need, not all your wants. And we think we need a lot more than we do.
Yeah.
Again, Paul's that perfect example there here. He's in prison in chains, and just nothing.
And the timing, it takes faith for the timing of the supply. I mean, I've heard stories of people, and it's like, okay, but I can tell you that in my life, I know the last Bible study a couple of us shared, when we were really down, but that wasn't the only time in our life. I remember when Beth and I were real young, and there was something we had to give, and everything after that, everything we needed, we didn't have much money, but everything, I'm not kidding, Everything we needed was on sale. Right? I'm not kidding. Right? And we didn't have any extra, but everything we needed so that we had just enough. And I remember those things, And once again, I remember I've told my kids some of these stories, and it's like, so that you can trust the Lord, And when Beth and I think back of sometimes, how did we do it? And we remind us, well, it's because of the Lord, I mean, but the trust in the timing, how about Esther, right? I mean, you talk about timing. I mean, right down to the day, right? I mean, and so it does take that kind of faith, but who's your faith in? Even if you have the grain of mustard seed, if you have your faith in the right person, it's enough. So anyways, but that's the timing for me in my life has just been incredible, right in the nick of time. I mean, I knew a guy, I mean, he was in the same position as us in the early 80s, and he was going to lose everything. And just by chance, some guy pulls into his driveway and stuff, and he was trying to sell something. This guy looked at him, and this guy was not a Christian. And this guy looks at him and says, you look a little down. And he goes, well, yeah, there's some things happening. And the guy goes, well, tell me about it. And he had to have $15,000 by the next day. I mean, that was the amount, right? So he tells this guy this. I mean, and he didn't even tell him the amount. But he just told him, this guy goes, that is pretty dire. He goes, you know what? He goes, I've actually got some money my wife doesn't know about. And you give me your phone number and stuff. And he said, and I'm going to call you. He said, and if I can give it to you, you answer the phone and you'll know it's my number. And I'll say yes or no. This was an unsaved guy. And I can tell you, this guy's still my friend. He sends me Christmas cards every day. His name is Brad Meyer, lives there in Iowa. And the next day the phone rings and he answers it. And the guy goes, yes, click. And the guy put the money in his account. I mean, come on. I mean, this is a real story. This is a real story that happened in our lives with a friend. I mean, just, and that family to this day, I mean, they were up the creek a lot, the same as us, exactly the same as us. And I can tell you that you should see their family picture now. It incredibly huge family and stuff, and they're all doing well and doing well by the Lord too. So just, I don't know. It's to me, if that doesn't just make your spirit jump, it's really something, especially when it's personal.
Yes. Yeah.
Who knows? He says some have entertained strangers unaware, entertained angels, excuse me, angels unaware, So the Lord is not limited to how he can minister, to us.
And that word is broad. It means messenger, right? Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it can mean messenger. I mean, I firmly believe that guy was a sent messenger. I mean, he had to be. it's really great, which makes you enjoy the passage that much more.
Yes. It's interesting what the Lord does use in the different times of need or when you're down or whatever. And won't go into the details, but I was pretty down at one time and I got a hold of Hudson Taylor's life history. And when you want to get a little picture of faith, I think you can find it there. And it just encouraged me that God is able. He's a real God, and he knows what we have need of, and it's wonderful to see the experience. But there is one thing about it. There is no substitute for experience. Faith is a wonderful thing, but it's going to be tested and it's going to be tried. And it's not going to be easy, but it's those testing times that we look back at and we can say, what a wonderful moment to see the Lord's hand in something that nobody seemed to know anything about. But our God is able. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I wonder how much I really enter into that. God is my God, and God is my Father. And this all-powerful God, he's my God. And this all-loving Father, he's my Father. Wonderful to really have a sense of the fact that we belong to such a one.
I got a question. The verse before, he's talking about according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then in verse 20, he's talking about giving more glory to God and the Father. Are those two verses related? Is the word glory does it have two different meanings there, or is it talking about the same thing?
Well, I'll stick my neck out a little bit. I really don't have the details of it, but I've often thought of it. God in all of his glory, where he's at, glory and majesty and splendor. That's where our riches come from, that he gives to us. And when we have the experience of receiving what's needed just in the nick of time at times, we can't help but bow the knee and worship and honor and glory that we give to him. That's my thought. Maybe someone else has something on that.
I don't know. I can't really say for sure, but I think of as we've been going through this book and kind of analyzing it and just digging into the richness. I just love this book, in Philippians, and just digging into the richness of everything that Paul has just brought forth. And I'm wondering if he may, as it begins to close this letter to the Philippians, and I mean, sometimes when you're writing a letter, and then sometimes you'll go to the, and we get to the end, and sometimes you'll summarize, sometimes you'll just say, so in the light of everything, to God, like Eldon says, to God be the glory, to God be the what else can I say but to God be the glory. And I think this is just an expression of his heart as as he comes to the close of this letter, as he thinks about these Philippians who were, like you said earlier, Don, that were so dear to his heart. He says at the beginning of this chapter, because there was no chapters, that my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. He just loved the Philippians, and he's thankful for for everything that they've done for him, and so on. And he just again just shouts out, to God be the glory. What else can you say?
Yeah, that's good.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Well, in I know for certain, first of all, the two glories are the same word in the Greek. And when you look at the Hebrew, it always has the idea of an illumination. a brightness. And when you think of it in those terms, when you say to God be the glory, you know, may everything about him be illuminated. And for us, you know, whenever it talks about this in Corinthians, when it's talking about, you know, the glory that Moses had, remember, and it faded, but that's not what we get. Ours is going to be ever increasing. And for me, I know for me that for me will be the fact that the brighter it gets, the more it's going to illuminate God, and I am going to know him more and more and more and more forever and ever, and there's no end. To me, that's what this means to me. And I think it's backed up by scripture. So unbelievable. And, yeah. And is that right? Oh man, is it? Because that's what we're not after 40 virgins or 70 virgins. We're after knowing Christ, knowing the Father, you know, unbelievable. You know, my brother and my daughter within the past couple months in talking with them have told me just the unbelievableness about what their studies and the realization through all their reading that this is the very God, and he's doing this with them and allowing them to be a part of his work. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I mean, to them, it's just, you know, and it is, it's, you can't comprehend it. So anyways, but that's, I think that glory really makes sense when you think about it in that way, because boy, then it really does give God the glory, you know, more and more and more and more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what Moses asked the Lord? Lord, show me thy glory. You know, show me, illuminate me. Let me see your illumination, your light, you know. He says, no man can see me and live. But then we read, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, or he hath manifested or made him known, you know, or illuminated him, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
It seems like every phrase here in Philippians is just full of meaning.
Yeah.
So much there. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The more I read statements like that, the more I realize how far I was from really understanding God's mind in the past. It's so easy to speak against those that are not meeting in the same way. It's so easy to speak against those that are functioning in things that just aren't scriptural. And we've got to be alert to that. But they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Baptist assembly three blocks away, they're part of the church. The Presbyterian assembly on the other side of the freeway, they're part of the church. And the more that we can grasp that, the more we'll be manifesting the unity of the Spirit. We thank God for having revealed some things to us about the simplicity of meeting to the name of Christ alone. Thank God for that. But that doesn't mean we're right in everything. And so we look at others and we might say, oh, they're doing this wrong, but are they doing other things that are more correct than what we do? Well, I can't help but think even the term, when we talk about them and us, even that sort of divisive at times. And we need to be careful as to what we mean when we say those things. And I don't mean to be unnecessarily critical, but the term assembly, it simply means the same thing as church, ecclesia, congregation. And so those Baptists that we mentioned, they're part of the assembly as well. And so I think it's something that many Christians have slid away from because of the attitude of we're something special and others don't have the same position that we have. Well, I think we need to be careful. I understand what people are saying, but I think it gives away the fact that we might not have such a good grasp on what it means to be non-sectarian as we think we have. But it says here, doesn't it, that we should salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Every saint. In other portions of the scriptures, it often speaks, they had a love for all the saints. And we should. We should have the same love for Christians wherever we find them. Oh, maybe I've gone further than some would go in a statement like that, but I feel we need to be careful. We're here at the end of the church's history on earth, and how important it is to understand just what we are before Christ and what every saint is before Christ.
I was muted and my phone was ringing and everything. I don't think you've gone too far. In fact, I was just talking to a brother just the other night, and we were just talking about things of, the assemblies. I got saved. I'm thankful that I got saved in the assemblies. And again, not that the assemblies have all the truth. I mean, there's some things in that's done in the assemblies that I don't particularly agree with. But nothing that would break fellowship, but we were just talking about one of the main things that one of the distinctions was there's no the pastor, and I said, and back back home back east, I had two really close friends who were both pastors of church. One was my barber. He was a pastor, and he was also him and his brother were a barber. When I first got saved, I mean, he really gave me a lot of encouragement. He almost begged me to come to his church and lead his youth group and everything. I was only in my 20s, and the other brother, who I had met, I don't even remember how I even met him, to tell you the truth, but he was a great brother, and he had some really good thing. Anyway, we just loved each other, and we had discussions about the quote the pastor thing and so on, and but we loved each other, and we had, I say, we had discussions about it, it's not a thing that we think that that we're better than they are or that we have all the truth. It's just mostly you fellowship with people that are like-minded. It avoids a lot of contention. So you seek those who are like-minded with you in doctrinal issues and so on. You're not going to agree on everything, but on some major things like that. And the whole thing of the pastor was a major thing to me. The priesthood of all believers and so on. But anyway, but yeah, it's they're greet all the brothers, all the saints in Christ Jesus. They're my brother. They're my brothers and my sisters, and again, I know a lot of people go to other churches that I'm really close with, and they're believers, there's that, you just meet with people who are more in line with your way of thinking, more so. And if you can't find one, then you what go to the next best thing or something like that or whatever, I don't know if that's the right terminology or not, then you're saying the next best thing, so we're saying we're the best. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's good to it up every so often, look at it again, consider with just what the Word of God has to say. Here, those that were with Paul, they send their greetings to those at Philippi. I don't know if they knew each other or not. The brethren which are with me greet you. Well, that's a nice reciprocal acknowledgement of who they are. Yeah.
Someone which says we're of Caesar's household. So, maybe he led them to the Lord. Well, don't
Yeah.
know.
You know why this is important, right? Whether we like it or not, there's a symbiotic relationship between all of us. There is. We're all part of the same body.
Yes.
And we need them and they need us. So that's and I think you're right. There's no way a ton of them had met the ones in Caesar's household, I mean, so that's what I think that's what's going to be so cool in heaven. I mean, even I'm looking at Daniel Tellori on my screen. I mean, this is all I've seen you, I mean, you're so far away and yet in the future. Hi, Daniel. I mean, and you're gonna know me. And not because you've seen me on the screen, and it'll be the same thing. Hey, here's Moses. I mean, and we're all connected. We're literally connected. There's that symbiotic part of the body that no matter how small, that we have to have one another. So, anyways, pretty neat.
Well, the gifts that have been given, it's for the betterment of the whole church. And, I don't want to harp on it, but exclusive sort of positions, they don't go beyond their door of the meeting room. But it's important to keep in mind that the gifts that have been given, and we've all been given something, is for the betterment of the whole church. I'm wondering, Tillman, you've had a little experience with being in the mission field, I think with your parents, if I remember correctly. I'm under the impression that often out in the mission field, there's a little better enjoyment of the other Christians that might meet in a different way in a different place than what we might find here in the home front. There seems to be a, when there's a need, I've heard people just rallying around, even though they didn't have the same association. There was some common bond there in their service. I don't know, have you experienced that?
Well, I mean, I know my parents did. I mean, and they talked about people that I never even met. Because I was real young when we came back. But most definitely, there was a guy in the Philippines that my dad used to, and my parents did mission work in Laos. And they had actually gone to the Philippines because my mom was about ready to drop on my brother that's 2 years older than me. And there was a man there and they never knew him before. And my dad just marveled at the fact that this guy, when he got there, he just said, just take the car. Just like this, the material things meant nothing to this guy, and Dad just marveled at his generosity and stuff. So that's the one that really stands out to me that my dad told me about was there in the Philippines, and I never got to meet that guy, when because when he went, I wasn't even born yet. So That definitely is was that case in that instance.
Well, he goes on to say that all the saints salute you, chiefly they of Caesar's household. Now, again, it seems to me, if I'm reading this right, those at Philippi, they didn't have much. They gave what they could, but they didn't have much. And here, those of Caesar's household, quite a ways up on the social ladder, they're showing some interest in these poor saints at Philippi. I think that's beautiful to really have a mutual interest when the Lord's people, whatever social status they might have, whatever position in life they might have, whatever occupation they might have, to show a mutual concern one for another. I think that is also promoting the unity of the Spirit. I've enjoyed how Paul closes his letters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And I thought, yeah, that's every one of his letters. Then I look closer. He opens every one of his letters in the same way. Every one of them, he starts with desiring grace for those that he's writing to. And when he finishes his letter, he desires grace for those that he's writing to. And I know that we've come to understand that grace is undeserved blessing, unmerited favor, however you want to put it. But I'm convinced it's God's divine enablement. Without grace, we wouldn't be able to move ahead at all. He enables us. He gives the instructions in these different epistles, but he doesn't stop there. He gives us the grace that's needed to put it into practice, to make it part of our lives, to show that we believe that what God tells us is going to be the very best for us. God's divine enablement, grace.
I got a comment on that. That just the way that you put it, I think you know that the first time it's in translated grace in the Bible was Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did he find enablement? 100 years to build this crazy boat? I think that's grace. If that's not enablement, I don't know what it is, you know, but unbelievable. So that was well put. I like that.
Well, I think the amen in verse 20 is there. Is the amen in verse 23 there as well in the original? We've had a good time in the book of Philippians.
Yes, we have.
When we get to the end here, I think we all want to say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, any final comments, Tillman?
No, amen. You know, it's, I know one of the verses that I go round and round. I think I've told you that's how I study in the morning. I start and then I follow all the trails. But, you know, you know, that verse, you know, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, it's established. It doesn't change. I mean, that's it, you know, and the amen, that's it. You know, it's established. It's firm. That there's no changing it. And oh boy, am I glad. So that's all I've got. That was great. And sorry I was late, but the boys were cooking something with a solar oven and it took a little longer than normal. And we just finished eating and then run and got on the computer. So
Well, we're glad you're here anyhow. Good to see you. Joe, any final thoughts for us?
No, as you were speaking and then Tillman, I just thought of that verse in First Timothy, and Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me and that he had counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. But if, and then he goes along, and just a couple of verses later, and he says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." So, yeah, and this has been a great book. I love Philippians. It is just such a rich, rich book. What's next?
More of the same. It's all good. Daniel Tellure, good to see you tonight.
Oh, brother, I want to some request, brother. Just I writing that.
Request for all the prayers and support. We'll do that, Daniel. Pray for your wife, certainly. Daniel Lewis, any final thoughts for us?
Please kindly, brother, pray for.
Yeah, we'll be praying for her for sure. I was just thinking about the he talks about every saint in verse 21, and then all the saints in verse 22, and then be with you all in verse 23, but kind of implying saints there too. And he just, as an aside, he says, well, there were some that were from Caesar's household, but the important thing is they're saints, and in, is it Psalm 16, where he talks about the saints, the excellence of all the earth, in whom is all my delight. It's the Lord, it has his stamp of approval on those people. But there's also a difference. Because I was reading in Deuteronomy, and in Proverbs, it often talks about, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and whatever. But this kind of, I read it in a different way to today. When let's see, chapter 4, in verse 6, keep therefore and do them. He's talking about the statutes and the judgments. He says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? It goes on, but there he's making a difference because they know the Lord. Now they're his chosen people, and everyone can say these people have been with him. They're a wise people. There's something different about them. Well, that was Old Testament, but I could just see in the New Testament too, with the saints, all the saints, to Paul, that was the important thing. They were called, they might be from Caesar's household, they might be from Philippi, but they're saints, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, so very good. Well, I think we've come to the close of our little time here. So maybe someone would feel free to just close our time with prayer.
Father, we're so grateful, just like the verses that Daniel just read, that if we follow your instructions, your word, that if we follow Christ, that others will see and realize. And just like it says, even in the New Testament, surely the Lord is in this place. And we just pray, Father, that that would be our goal, even in the coming days, that people would notice a difference and that we could tell them about the hope that lies within us. And we know that it's just like Joe marveling over the book of Philippians, and good gracious, it's just all over. And even I was just reading in Proverbs about that, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that humility comes with it. Well, of course it does. And we thank you, Father, that the word does humble us and puts us in our place. And we love that, because then it exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for these words. We thank you for all our brothers here who've really enjoyed these lessons from Philippians. And we just pray for a blessing for all those that have put the work in. Thank Don and Daniel for establishing this line so that we could get together on Zoom and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.